So we're describing chapter 15, beginning how there's two types of ragatmika bhakti found in Krishna's nityaparikaras, eternal associates. So there's kamarupa ragatmika bhakti and sambandha rupa. So kamarupa is spontaneous attraction for something while completely absorbed in thoughts of it with intense desires of love. Sometimes called sensual attraction. And sambandha rupa is called relationship. So kamarupa means to feel an intense desire to satisfy the Lord in conjugal love. And sambandha rupa includes devotees who experience an intense desire to satisfy the Lord as his parent, friend, or intimate servant. Although conjugal love, kamarupa, is also a type of relationship, sambandha, Rupa Goswami gives it a separate category to emphasize its preeminence. He quotes a verse from 7th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 1, verse 31. Gopya kamad bayat kamso dvesha chaityadayo nripa sambandad vrishanai prishnaya snehad yuyam bhaktyavayam vivo. Hey, dear King Yudhisthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupala and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their family relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna. Rupa Goswami cites this verse to substantiate his statement regarding two types of ragatmika bhakti. So the main point is to absorb our minds in Krishna. And that way become purified. And this verse shows that different persons, Kamsa and Shishupala, they all became purified. Of course, inimical emotions are not really recommended. For example, in the Bhagavatam, King Venu hated God, but his mind was not absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. Therefore, his hatred of God sent him to hell, whereas the absorption of Shishupala and Kamsa's minds in Krishna, they became purified and achieved the spiritual world and get liberation. So kamarup, ragatmika bhakti, which means sensual attraction. The word kama, lust, means the intense thirst to satisfy the senses. So there are two types of kama, material kama and spiritual kama. Material kama is the intense thirst to satisfy our own senses, whereas spiritual kama is the intense thirst to satisfy Krishna's spiritual senses. Prabhupada writes on page 122, this lust is the devotee's excessive desire to serve Krishna in a particular capacity. So the exchange of love between Krishna and the gopis, it seems very much like ordinary embracing and dancing of materialists, and so sometimes a difficulty arises in the minds of conditioned souls. The difficulty is that conditioned souls naturally tend to interpret things in context of their own experience. In our experience, conjugal affairs such as dancing and embracing are all manifestations of personal lust. Thus, when one hears about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, he may misinterpret Krishna's pastimes in the terms of mundane lust. However, a devotee with genuine realization and bhakti sees the pastimes of Krishna as they really are. They're pure exchanges of unalloyed love. A sincere devotee knows that the gopi's internal motivation is radically different from the motivation of mundane, quote, lovers, even though their external activities may appear similar. Krishna's Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that material lust or and spiritual lust are as different as iron and gold. Selfish desire is the motivation for material lust, and it's just like iron. Whereas selfless desire is the motivation for spiritual lust. In the material world, every action is selfish, based on exploitation. Whereas in the spiritual world, every action is selfless, and meant exclusively for Krishna's pleasure. Although there's sometimes one can see in Krishna in the Braja pastimes an apparent selfishness, it seems that the Brijavasis are acting for their own happiness, but factually they act only for Krishna's pleasure. They know that Krishna takes pleasure to see his devotee pleased, and that is the only reason that they sometimes seem to endeavor for their own happiness. So we should understand very clearly that this kama, or lust, that we're describing in Krishna's affairs with his nityaparikars, in these spiritual relationships, they are never lusty or selfish. When Rupa Goswami is saying here that Krishna's relationship with the gopis is lusty or kama rupa, he uses the word only figuratively to aid our basic understanding, because everyone understands what kama means, what it means to be burning with the fire to enjoy, to satisfy one's senses. So the gopis are burning with a fire to please Krishna, which is quite inconceivable. Prabhupada explains, quote, "The gopis' ecstatic love for Krishna is sometimes described as being like the lusty desire of the material world, but actually, this should not be taken as a literal fact. It is simply a way of trying to understand the transcendental situation. The point is that the Braja gopis are consumed and obsessed by a passion to satisfy Krishna, the force of which is beyond our ability to comprehend. By comparing it to mundane lust or kama, which is the single most consuming and overwhelming urge in our experience, we may catch the slightest hint of the intensity of the gopis' desire to serve Krishna." So we must understand very carefully that Krishna's conjugal love affairs with the Braja gopis are impeccably, totally, absolutely pure and transcendental. Although externally they may resemble mundane lust, internally they are motivated exclusively by pure, selfless prema. So someone may say, well, what is the evidence for the purity of this so-called, of this spiritual, quote, lust or kama? So that's discussed on page 123. The evidence for the gopis' transcendental purity, Rupa Goswami cites the great devotee Uddhava. Uddhava was a highly learned Brahmin, fully endowed with all spiritual knowledge and fully learned in all the Vedic scriptures, totally in control of his senses, and a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So he's completely free from all attraction to mundane love affairs, yet he was glorifying the gopis' love for Krishna. Then Srila Prabhupada adds the example here of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was a strict sannyasi, following very strict vow of celibacy, but he also praised the gopis' love of Krishna. So if the gopis were affected by mundane sex desire, then these two stalwart personalities would never have praised them. To further highlight the exalted purity of the gopis' love for Krishna, Rupa Goswami mentions Kubja, whose attraction to Krishna was not as pure as the gopis. The selfish desire that slightly tinged her attraction excluded her from the category of Kamarup and relegated her to a lesser status of Kamapraya, which means almost lusty desire. So, the Braja gopis, Kam is nothing but prema for the supreme object of devotion, which is Krishna. So there's three types of love that are described in Sanat Kumara Samhita. samanjasa, samanjasa rati, or three types of attachment, samanjasa rati, samartha rati, and sadharani. Sadharani. Sadharani rati. So sadharani rati means ordinary rati, which is the type of attachment that Kuja displayed in Mathura, that she was, her attachment for Krishna was more based on selfish desire to please herself, so there was not exactly this pure Kamarup Ragatmika Bhakti of the Brajagopis. The Brajagopis Rati is called Samartha Rati, where they feel their attachment is based on totally on the desire to serve Krishna without even a drop or a tinge or pinch of selfishness or desire for getting something in return for themselves. So it's called Samartha Rati. And Samanjasa Rati is that that was expressed by the queens of Dwarka. Because although they were selfless in the sense that they wanted to please Krishna, at the same time, they wanted to derive something for their own, they had some desire for their own pleasure. And that's described, these Ragatmikas can, these Nityaparishads or Ragatmikas who are Kamarup, have this Kamarup, Ragatmika Bhakti, or three kinds. So there's Samartha Rati in Braj, Samanjasa Rati in Dwarka, and Sadharani Rati in Mathura. So Radha and the Sakis, and the Asa Sakis, they have Samartha Rati, which is a complete self-effacement and absolute non-existence of any desire for their personal pleasure in the company of Krishna. All their intense passions are for the absolute satisfaction of the ever-increasing and ever-new demands of the Lord for His pleasures only. And the Samanjasa Rati of the Dwarka queens, there's an equal desire for mutual enjoyments of themselves as also of the Lord. While in Mathura, the Sadharani Rati of Kuvja, she desired to enjoy the person of Krishna. Of course, all three of these conceptions of Ragatmika Bhakti are on the plane of transcendence, a Prakriti Bhumi. So in one sense, they're inconceivable by our human minds. So one is like the bright sun, and the other is like dense darkness. So prema, this prema is being described by using the term kamarup. Ragatmika Bhakti is like the bright sun, whereas material kama or material lust is like dense darkness of midnight. Prema is the brightest sun, and kama is the darkest midnight. So this is chapter 16. Spontaneous devotion further described, page 125. This is actually a discussion of Sambandharupa Ragatmika Bhakti, which is all part of the discussion of Raganuga Bhakti. Chapter 15 and 16 is discussing Raganuga Bhakti. This is a feeling of thinking oneself as the parent, friend, or servant of the Lord, which is the attitude of the Brijvasis. This is the ideal transcendental concept of being the father and mother of Krishna. Of course, this spontaneous love exists eternally in the residence of Vrindavan. So just as Kama Rupa is the intense attachment to service in the mood of a lover, Sambandha Rupa is the intense attachment to serve Krishna in the mood of his parent, mother or father, friend or servant. The Prabhupada makes a point here. If one is only on the stage of Vaidhi Sadhana, there's no, it's on page 125, there's no necessity of discussing this love, for it must develop itself at a more advanced stage. Because what we're discussing here is Kamarup and Sambandharup Ragatmika Bhakti is existing in the Nityaparishads or Nityaparikars, the eternal associates of Vrindavan, who possess the perfection of spontaneous devotion. So the primary subject of these two chapters is the practice of spontaneous devotion, Raganuga Sadhana. So Rupa Goswami is briefly presenting the subject of Ragatmika Bhakti. Prabhupada says that this develops as one advances. So Raganuga Bhakti. So that's what Prabhupada says, eligibility for spontaneous devotional service. So persons who have an eager craving or desire to follow in the footsteps and develop the feelings and sentiments of Krishna's eternal devotees, such as the Brijvasis, are called Raganuga devotees. The spontaneous devotional service, Raganuga Bhakti, is a practice of advanced devotees intended to cultivate the sentiments of a particular eternal devotee, a Ragatmika Bhakti. Sarva Goswami first describes the prerequisites that a practitioner must possess. So what is the basic qualification to practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which Prabhupada uses the term spontaneous devotional service? So the basic qualification for Raganuga Bhakti is a natural, spontaneous desire to serve Krishna in a specific relationship. That means Madhurya Ras, Sakhi Ras, Vatsali Ras, Dasi Ras. A desire that can be evoked by hearing about the Nityaparikars of Braj, the eternal residence of Vrindavan. Prabhupada describes it here. There is a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and this activity is called Raganuga. So this verse, the Sanskrit for this verse is Tad Tad Bhavadi Madhurye Shuti Dir Yadapekshate Natra Shastram Ayuktim Cha Talo Bhutpati Lakshanam. This is from Madhya Lila, chapter 22, 155, which is actually the Sanskrit for this verse from the Nectar Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is translated thus. When an advanced, realized devotee hears about the affairs of the Brijvasis, devotees in Vrindavan, in the mellows of Shant, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, he becomes inclined in that way, and his intelligence becomes attracted. Indeed, he begins to covet and desire that particular type of devotion. When such covetousness is awakened, one's intelligence no longer depends on the instruction of the Shastra, revealed scripture, logic, or argument. So one who's actually qualified for Raganuga Bhakti, his devotion or bhakti is guided only by his intense craving to attain the service of a particular resident of Vrindavan, not by scriptural injunction or yamas and niyamas or vaidhi. Prabhupada describes, Raganuga devotees do not follow the regulative principles of devotional service very strictly, but by spontaneous nature they become attracted to follow some of the eternal devotees, such as Nanda Yashoda. So one point must be repeatedly stressed. It says that a Raganuga Bhakti, quote, is above the regulative principles. This doesn't mean that we can break all the principles, but what it means is that they're not dependent on scriptural injunction for their inspiration to serve and surrender. Their inspiration comes from their own spontaneous affection. This does not mean that a Raganuga Bhakta does not follow the regulative principles. It means that their motivation is love, which means rag, and not obligation, which is vidhi. The word vidhi means obligation. So when we say that the Raganuga Bhakta, or one who's following, that he's above the regulative principles, this refers to the injunctions of the Vedic Dharma or to the 64 Angas of Sadhana Bhakti. Not the four regular principles of no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. In other words, we still have to follow the principles of religion, but we may concentrate just on Smaranam and not on the other 64 limbs of devotion. We spend our day and night just remembering Krishna's pastimes. So how does one become qualified to practice this Raghunuga Bhakti. So the basic qualification is eagerness, lobha, to achieve the service of a particular Ragatmika devotee. In other words, the service of Rupa Goswami, or rather Rupa Mundri and Rati Mundri, Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, this eagerness is not cheap or easy to come by. This lobha means intense covetousness, which refers to a state where our sole and overwhelming desire is to please Krishna in a particular way. As long as there is some other desire in our hearts, the required intensity of focus cannot manifest. Therefore, usually, lobha does not awaken until a devotee achieves steadiness, or nishtha in bhakti, at the completion of anartha nivritti. After having thoroughly heard Srimad Bhagavatam, and being freed from all unwanted desires, one then possesses the qualification to practice genuine Raghunuga Bhakti. Prabhupada stresses the same point on page 126. He says, "We must always remember that such lobha or eagerness to follow the footsteps of the Brijavasis is not possible unless one is freed from material contamination." So then Prabhupada says, "Free from material contamination means, quote, there is a stage called anartha nivritti, which means the disappearance of all material contamination." So, of course, Raghunuga, it is a type of sadhana. So generally it's understood that after completing anartha nivritti, one is qualified to practice Raghunuga bhakti. So freedom from anarthas comes at nishtha. However, it is true that slight traces of anarthas remain until we attain prema. This description of Raghunuga Bhakti, Prabhupada discusses in the purport of Nectar of Instruction. He says that in Brajadham, the spiritual world, one should serve Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates, and one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable in the stage of sadhana and a stage of sadhya, or realization, when one is a siddha purusha, or spiritually perfect soul. So in summary, the basic qualification for spontaneous devotional service, which we call Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, is lobha, the strong desire to serve Krishna in a specific relationship, which is generally manifest after the stage of anartha nivritti. So now, page 126, Rupa Goswami explains the actual practices of Raghunuga Bhakti by in three different texts. One is Krishnam Smaranjanam Chasya Prishtam Nijasamhihatam Tattat Kata Ratashchaso Kuryad Vasam Braje Sada Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first wave, second chapter, verse 294. The devotee should always think of Krishna within himself, and one should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Braj. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship to Krishna, and one should live in Vrindavan. However, if one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. This is quoted in Madhya Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 22, verse 160. So the first practice of Raghunuga Bhakti is to meditate on the relationship of service between Krishna and his dear devotee. The specific relationship and devotee we meditate upon depends on our devotional aspiration. For example, one who desires to serve with conjugal affection may meditate on the mood and service of a specific gopi for Kishore Krishna. Someone who desires to serve with parental affection may meditate on the mood and service of Mother Yashoda for Kumara Krishna. A person who aspires to constantly remember Krishna and his eternal devotees is advised to take shelter of Vrindavan. One should physically live in Vrindavan and mentally live there by constantly remembering the exchanges between Krishna and his Nitya Parishads. Actually, mental residence in Vrindavan is more essential than physical residence, although they are both important. Prabhupada summarizes these instructions by saying, when one is actually liberated from material contamination, he can always remember an eternal devotee in Vrindavan in order to love Krishna in the same capacity. And developing such an aptitude, one will always live in Vrindavan even within his mind. The next verse, Rupa Goswami quotes, is verse 295. Seva sadaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tadbhava lipsana karya braja lokanusarataha. The advanced devotee who is inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regulative devotee, as well as internally from his self-realized position. Thus he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. So we should think of this Vrindavan devotee and absorb ourselves in his or her loving service mood. So first we should understand that the residents of Goloka Vrindavan have two manifestations, as sadhakas and as siddhas. Rupa Goswami simultaneously exists in Gaur Lila as a sadhaka and in Krishna Lila as Sri Rupa Manjari, a siddha. Since the residents of Braja have two manifestations, there are two ways to meditate upon them. The first is externally, meditating on their sadhaka roop as Rupa Goswami, and the second is internally. So the word sadhaka rupena in this verse instructs one to be absorbed in thought of an eternal resident of Vrindavan by externally following the activities of his sadhaka form. For example, one who desires to achieve the service and mood of Srila Rupa Goswami should follow his sadhana as described in the Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which is in our songbook by Srinivasacharya. Krishna kirtana gana nartana paro premamritambo nidhi dhira dhira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pujito Sri Chaitanya kripa paro bhuvibhavo bharavahantarako Pande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. Internally, the word Siddha Rupena in this verse quoted instructs us to be absorbed in thought of an eternal resident by mentally following their behavior of their Siddha form. So Rupa Goswami, we would internally meditate on the activities of Sri Rupa Manjari as described in his Rajavilas Stava. Tambularpana paramardana payo danabi sarad tibir brindaranya maheshwarim priyataya yat toshayanti priya pranaprishta sakikuladapi kila sanko chita bhumika keli bhumishu rupa mandri mukasta dasika samshaye. So Das Goswami, who is Rati Manjari, prays internally to Sri Rupa Manjari to attain similar services. And in this prayer from Rajavilas Stava, Raghunath Das Goswami is giving the indication of the internal prayer and practice and meditation of someone practicing this Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti in the mood of a Manjari, Madhuriya Bhava. By offering betel nuts to Radharani, by massaging Radhika's feet, by bringing water to Radharani, and by arranging her secret meeting with Sri Krishna, and by performing many other services, many Manjaris affectionately please Radha, who is more dear than their life. So Prabhupada summarizes page 126. But when one realizes his actual position and relationship with Krishna, he can, along with discharging a regulative service, think within himself of Krishna under the guidance of a particular associate of the Lord and develop his transcendental sentiments following that associate. Verse 3, which is mentioned in this discussion. Shavanot kirtanadini vaida bhakyuditani tu yan yangani chatanyatra vigyayani manishibi. Learned acharyas know that the 64 practices of vaidhi bhakti, headed by hearing and chanting, are also useful in raganuga sadhana bhakti. So this is important to understand that raganuga bhakti does not mean that one rejects vaidhi, but actually he requires a more focused concentration upon particular aspects which are conducive to an individual devotee's particular service mood. For example, one who is practicing raganuga sadhana bhakti does not abandon hearing and chanting. Rather, he focuses his hearing and chanting upon topics that specifically nourish his particular service mood. Deity worship, which is archanam in Vaidhi, is another example. A raganuga bhakta does not reject this aspect of Vaidhi sadhana. He still worships the deity, but in a way conducive to his devotional mood. And this later in the chapter, Rupa Goswami tells the story of an old man who developed the aspiration to love Krishna in a parental mood, Vatsalya Bhav. So therefore, Narada Muni advised him to worship his deity, thinking of the deity as his beloved son, following the footsteps of Nanda Maharaj. So Prabhupada summarizes this instruction. Learned acharyas recommend that we follow the regulative principles even after the development of spontaneous love for Krishna. One should specifically engage himself in the type of devotional service for which he has a natural aptitude. Two types of raganuga bhakti, kamanuga and sambandhanuga. So kamanuga raganuga bhakti is devotional practice that strives for the mood of the kamanuga ragatmikas, who are the brajagopis, or the queens of Dwarka. Sambandhanuga is a devotional practice that strives for the mood of the Sambandha-rupa ragatmikas, or the nityaparikars, devotees of Braj in parental, friendly, and servile love. So kamanuga is conjugal love. There are two types or two divisions. There is sambhog ichchamayi. Sambhog ichchamayi means striving to serve Krishna as do those who directly meet him in conjugal love. And two is tat-tad bhava-ichatmika, striving not to meet with Krishna directly, but to assist the supreme heroine, or nayika, Srimati Radharani, and thus directly experience her loving mood through service and appreciation. So the eligibility for kamanuga. One gradually becomes eligible for kamanuga sadhana-bhakti by developing a natural attraction to serving Krishna in conjugal love. One achieves this mainly by worshipping deities of Radha and Krishna and by hearing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. Prabhupada explains in page 128. The development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regulative principles and specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna. Such devotees gradually develop spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to these pastimes. There are two moods of conjugal love, parikya, which means unwedded, and swakya, wedded. So the gopis in Vrindavan follow this mood of parikya bhav. So one who perfects this sentiment will be elevated to Goloka Vrindavan to associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs with Krishna there. Swakya is for those who follow the wedded queens in Dwarka. Parental love and friendship, which is in the category Sambandhanuga, Raghunuga Bhakti, and that has also two categories. So there's one method, try to become the father, or may follow Nanda Maharaj with the ideal of becoming Krishna's father. Of course, you don't become Nanda Maharaj, but you develop the same mood. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's more description of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. We can discuss a little bit of that also. So this Raghunuga, we carry on the activities of the Angas of Bhakti, like Shravanam and Kirtanam, but with intense longing or loba to obtain the service of their innermost desired object, Prajendra Nandan. So as we mentioned, this is summary, Raghunuga Bhakti is performed in two ways, the external body and with the Siddharup, or the internally conceived body that is suitable for carrying out the perfected service, Prem Seva, for which one aspires. So we should follow in the footsteps of the eternal associates of resonance of Braj, the dear associates of Krishna, such as Radhika, Lalita, Vishaka, and Rupa Mandri. Siddhadeya, one should execute service within the mind, Manasi Seva, in accordance with the eternal associates. With the external body, we carry out bodily services, following the wake of the perfectly realized devotees like Sri Rupa Goswami. So actually, the Acharyas explain that it's not possible to taste the Leela Rasa of Krishna's Braja Leela without entering into Sri Gaur Leela. Only through the medium of Gaur Leela is it possible to taste the Leela Rasa of Krishna. And this is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna Leela Amrit Sara Tara Shata Shata Dara Tasidike Vahi Yare Haite Se Chaitanya Leela Haya Sara Sarovara Akshaya Marohamsa Charahata Hate. Pastimes of Krishna are the essence of all transcendental nectar. These nectarine pastimes flow in hundreds and hundreds of streams, inundating the 10 directions. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya are an imperishable reservoir of nectar, saturated with the pastimes of Krishna. O swan-like mind, please travel on this transcendental lake. Nana Bhavera Bhaktajan Hamsa Chakravakagan Jate Sabe Karina Vihar Krishna Keli Sumirnala Yahapai Sarvakala Bhakta Hamsa Karayahar. Devotees situated in various transcendental moods are like swans and chakravaka birds who play upon the transcendental lake of Krishna's pastimes. The sweet bulbs of the stalks of lotus flowers are the sportive amorous pastimes of Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna eternally enacts such pastimes, and they are the foodstuffs for the swan-like devotees who have taken shelter of Sri Gaurasundara, who is the eternal embodiment of Viprilamba Ras, and identical in form to Sri Krishna, the eternal embodiment of Sambhog Ras. Narottam Das Thakur explains the same point in Prarthana. Gaura Prema Rasaranabe Se Tarange Jeva Dube Se Radha Madhava Antaranga. Gaura Prema is an ocean of ras, So those who submerge themselves in the waves of the ocean of Gaura Prem will emerge in the waves of the confidential, intimate service of Radha Madhav. So, for summary, this point is that those that are practicing the Raganuga Sadakas, they should taste Krishna Leela through the medium of Gaura Leela. So first we should remember Gaura Leela and follow the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and observe the various angas of bhakti like Guru Parashraya, Ekadasi Brata, Tulsi Seva, Shalagram Seva, which Rupa Goswami and the other six Goswamis did. So coming to the point of realizing the spiritual body, that's a very advanced topic, the Siddhadeya. And so the contemplation of one's Nitya Siddhadeya arises of its own accord only by the merciful indication of Sri Gurudev. But the platform of Bhava, one's Nitya Siddhadeya begins to manifest in consultation with his Sri Gurudev, with either a realized Rasika Vaishnava Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru. One will refine and clearly define his Ekadash Bhav or his Siddhadeha, the 11 aspects of his Siddhadeha, but that's in a very advanced stage of Bhava. And at that point, one will continue to remember Astakali Leela, and he'll perform Manasi Seva or internal Seva with that Nitya Siddhadeha. So then one attains Sarup Siddhi, the platform of prema. So this means perception of one's eternal perfected form. Then ultimately Vastu Siddhi. Vastu Siddhi is that spiritual perfect substance or spiritual body which is obtained after giving up this body and taking birth in Krishna's Moma Leela from the womb of a gopi. There in Boma Leela one will attain the association of Sri Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari and Lalita Vishaka and one's Guru Sakhi and Krishna's other eternal associates, and be purified of all final traces of material identification. And then when prema identifies, when prema intensifies, one will attain the full Vastu Siddhi. So just in repetition, what's being said, the methodology of Raganuga Bhakti can be considered. The sadhaka, or the practitioner of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, should continuously remember Krishna in the pastime form which is most cherished by him, say Shyamasundara Gopinath, and also remember the beloved associate of Krishna whom he desires to follow, namely Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami. And with great attachment we should hear their Leela Katha. We should remember Krishna as Navakishore, a fresh youth, and Natabara, the best of dancers. And we should remember Rupa Manjari and other Priya Sakis of Krishna, who are deeply affected with the sentiments that one cherishes in his heart. By intently focusing on this kind of remembrance, sadhaka should always live in Braj, either physically or within the mind. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains in Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, Verse 156 through 164, the cultivation of Raganuga Bhakti. Bhayantarihara duita sadan, paisaraka dehi kari shravana kirtan, mani nija siradeha kariya bhavan, ratri dine kari braje krishna sevan, nija vishta krishna preshta pachite lagiya, nirantara seva kari, antarmana hanna dasa sakka pitradi prayasiragan raga margi nija nija bhavera ganan e matta karjeva raganuga bhakti krishna rachanitan uvajaya priti. Translation: the practice of raganuga bhakti is undertaken in two ways, with the external body and with the siddhadeha, the internal perfected spiritual form. With the external sadhaka deha, one should adopt the angas of bhakti such as shravanam and kirtanam. With one's siddha sharira or siddha deha, revealed by the mercy of the spiritual master, One should serve Radha Krishna Yugal day and night in Braja. Ratchadine kare braja krishnara sevan. Following the beloved associate of Sri Krishna that one cherishes within one's heart. In other words, the Nitya Parishava, which we've developed, agreed to follow, such as Rupa Mandri or Rati Mandri. We should constantly serve Yugal Kishore with an enraptured heart by following the mood and sentiment, bhava, of one of Krishna's associates among his lovers, corresponding to one's own disposition. The sadhaka attains affection for the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. That is exactly the same nature as the associate whom he follows. This is the method of Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, the practice of smarana, remembering Krishna's pastimes, remembering and praying to his eternal associates, is the, practically speaking, the main limb of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti Smarnam. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur, he explains five types of Raghunuga Sadhana in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindabindu. So Raghunuga Bhakti begins when one actually hears the sweetness of the conjugal mood displayed by Krishna's eternal associates in Braja Lila. One begins to think, this mood is possible for me also. I want to attain this mood of Rupa Manjari and Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. When this greed arises, one is no longer dependent on the reasonings of the Shastra. As long as one is dependent upon the arguments of Shastra, it means that one is not, greed is not really risen. Greed is never observed in anyone who is dependent on the reasoning of Shastra. After the appearance of greed, how may this irresistible Braja Bhava be attained? Among the angas of bhajan, some are tadbhava maya, composed of bhava. Some are tadbhava sambandhi, related to bhava. Some are tadbhava anukul, favorable to bhava. Some are tadbhava avivruddha, not opposed and not incompatible with bhava. And some are tadbhava pratikul, opposed to bhava. So these are the five types of Raghunuga sadhana, which Vishnu Chakravarti explains. First is bhava maya. Bhava maya. I'm made entirely of bhava. The primary relationships, such as Madhurya Ras, are known as bhavamaya sadhana. When Shravanam, Kirtanam, and other angas of bhakti become saturated with the bhava of Madhurya, they nourish the future tree of the sadhaka's prema. Therefore, Madhurya is called, or this relationship, Madhurya Ras, is called bhavamaya sadhana. Bhava sambandhi, the angas of bhakti beginning from acceptance of the shelter of the spiritual master, mantra, japa, hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, form, qualities, and pastimes appropriate for different periods of the day of the earth's Krishna and his beloved associates toward whom one has attraction, and rendering various service to them are known as bhava sambandhi sadhana. So the cause of bhava is bhava sambandhi. That by which bhava attains maturity is called the material cause. Bhava is shaped or molded by the various angas of bhakti such as Guru Pada Shraya and so on. The third type is called bhava anukul. These are practices which are helpful for attaining bhava. The observance of Ekadashi, Janmashtami, and Kartik Brata, and renunciation of sense pleasure and other austerities performed for the pleasure of Krishna, offering respect to Tulsi, all these angas of bhakti are performed with great eagerness to obtain one's cherished bhava, Madhurya bhava, for example. They're favorable to bhava. They're helpful for the attainment of bhava, therefore they're known as bhava anukula sadhana. Four is bhava aviruddha sadhana. Wearing prasadik mala and other deity paraphernalia, stamping one's body with the syllables of Harinam, offering obeisances, and other such angas are called bhava aviruddha sarana. They're not opposed to the attainment of one's bhav. Then the fifth one is bhava pratikul. These are against by doing nyas and different mudras with the fingers and meditating on Krishna's Dwarka Leela. These should be abandoned in Raghunuga Bhakti because they are opposed to the attainment of one's desired bhav. Chapter 17, Ecstatic Love, Bhava Bhakti. So the purpose of sadhana bhakti is to awaken bhav. Bhav is the goal, sadhya, of our devotional practice, sadhana. Srila Prabhupada writes here that within the stage of regulative principles of devotional service, there are two divisions, namely executive and effective. The effective portion of devotional service is called bhava or ecstasy. In other words, it's the effective practice. An executive refers to sadhana because you execute, or it involves the execution of devotional practices. So there are two divisions of pure devotional service. One is called Cheshta Rupa, which is devotional service executed with our endeavors. The other is called Bhava Rupa, devotional service executed with our spiritual emotions, evoked on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. There is executive, which means endeavors that cause bhava, and effective, or endeavors which result from bhava, which Prabhupada refers to as executive and effective. Endeavors that cause bhava, cheshta rupa sadhana, are hearing, chanting, worshipping, etc. Endeavors that result from bhava, cheshta rupa sadhya, or the result, are called anubhavas, which are endeavors that result from stimulation of our affection for Krishna. In other words, when a friend's love is stimulated, the anubhava, or in following reaction, will be that he endeavors to play with Krishna. So, Rupa Goswami cites a verse to give the definition and characteristics of Bhava Bhakti. Shuddha Sattva Vishesh Atma Prema Suryamshu Samyabhak Ruchibish Chittamashrinya Kridaso Bhava Uchite. Devotional service was situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness. It is like a ray of sunlight of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to be softened by various tastes, and one is then situated in bhava or emotion. So the primary characteristics of bhava is shuddha sattva visheshatma. This is the stage when shuddha sattva enters the devotee's heart. So what is shuddha sattva? We've heard the sattva gun, or the mode of goodness, but that's material. But shuddha sattva refers to Krishna's internal potency, whose function is to revive the living entity's dormant love for Krishna. Just as if we have a seed that's lying dormant in the ground, without being touched by the heat and light of the sun, it cannot grow. So similarly, Prema Beach, or the seed of Prem, is lying like a seed dormant in the heart of every living entity. It's just said of Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavanai, Shravanali Shudachite Korya Udhai. It cannot grow without the touch of Krishna's devotional energy, which is known as Shuddha Sattva. So, when a person eagerly wants to serve Krishna, the Shuddha Sattva potency touches the heart, and then prema begins to sprout. As bhava is prema in its preliminary budding stage, Rupa Goswami describes bhava as prema ankur, which means ankur means sprout. So bhava is the first sprout of prema. Or in this verse he uses prema suryamshu. It is an amshu, a ray of light, the ray of the sun of prema. In other words, bhava is like a sun ray, whereas prema is the full sun itself. So sun and sun rays, or bhava and prema, are qualitatively non-different, but there is a distinction in quantitative intensity. Prema begins with bhava, just as the day begins with dawn. So when the first rays of dawn appear, one can understand that soon the sun will rise. Similarly, when one reaches the stage of bhava, the full light of prema will manifest very soon. So what is Shuddhasattva? How does Shuddhasattva descend? Rupa Goswami explained that Shuddhasattva is composed of Krishna's Samvit and Ladini potencies. Samvit is the knowledge-giving potency, and Ladini is the devotional potency, or the potency of bliss, joy, happiness, love. So Samvit Shakti, Krishna's own cognitive potency, descends into the heart of the sadhaka and empowers one to perceive and know Krishna. The Lord's devotional potency, Ladini Shakti, also descends into a devotee's heart, empowering us to fully manifest blissful love of Godhead. When these two potencies, Samvit and Ladini, combine in the heart, one can begin to fully relish Krishna as the supreme object of love. This is bhava bhakti, the awakening of love of Godhead. So what are the tattvastha lakshana, or secondary characteristics? They're given in this verse. Ruchibhish chittamashrinya. Bhava, secondary characteristics, it softens the heart and gives rise to various tastes. So what does it mean, softening of the heart? A soft heart is one that's easily moved or changed by emotion. Of course, if one is free from offenses, one can have this experience of transcendental emotions. In the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that describes that certainly the heart is steel-framed, which in spite of chanting the holy name with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place, and tears fill the eyes and hair stand on end. Prabhupada explains that ecstasy is the first symptom of pure love for Krishna. And in that stage, sometimes one sheds tears or shivers. So giving rise to various tastes and ruchibis. So various kinds of tastes or devotional desires blossom when one achieves bhava. One is called prapti abhilash, which one develops an intense desire to achieve Krishna. Two is anukulya abhilash. One desires to please Krishna with various services. And three is sohardha abhilash, desire to be close at heart with Krishna. These three terms come from Jiva Goswami's commentary. So what is the nature of bhava? When bhava, bhakti, appears, it permeates our consciousness to such an extent that it appears to become one with the mind, just as an iron rod placed in fire eventually becomes permeated by the qualities of fire to such an extent that the rod and the fire appear to be one. This condition is called tad-atmaka. Prabhupada refers to this state as samadhi on page 131, Nectar Devotion. When the ecstatic symptoms stay within the mind and the ecstasy continues, it is called samadhi.